So today I want to look at the message I titled, The Commandment. The Commandment. So apart from when God made Adam and Eve and gave them a command not to eat a certain fruit or not to eat from a certain tree, the next time we heard about the commandment was when God brought his people out of the land of Egypt. And why did God give them command? Why did God command them saying, do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do that? And why did God bring them out of Egypt to give them a land that belongs to another people? A land that God in the past have given to a certain people. Why did God decide to drive these people out of the land just to give it to another people? Is God unjust? Does God love some and hate some? Why did God do that? I want to start today. I want to take you first of all to the book of Genesis chapter 15, the promise that God made to Abraham. Genesis 15. From verse 16. So God told Abraham, he said, but in the fourth generation, they shall come hither. I'll start from 13, just so I'll get it very well. Genesis 15:13. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterwards they shall come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. So God said to Abraham that his generation would possess this land, the land that God, exactly where God told Abraham to move to from his father's land. So God told Abraham that in the fourth generation, his generation, the fourth generation, we come back to that land and possess it. Why? He said, because the sins of the Amorites are not yet full. This will tell you how merciful God is, how God can bear with us for so many years. See, for 400 years, he said, the iniquities of these people are not yet full. These people are sinful people. These people are people without the law of God. They don't recognize it. They don't want to do it. They don't want to please God. They were wicked. But God was willing to bear with these people for 400 years. And this did not just start when God called Abraham. I believe this have started before God even called Abraham. But God said, 400 years, your people will be in Egypt. And they will come out after 400 years to possess the land. And we know that before they got to the land, it took them like 40 years plus before they journeyed to the land. So God actually allowed these people to remain sinful and stayed in those lands flowing with milk and honey for more than 400 years. The Bible says his mercies endures forever. His mercies endures forever. But this will tell you why God drove these people out and why God promised Abraham to give this land to his seed because of the sins of the people that occupied this land. Not because God hated them, not because God loved Abraham more than any other person, but God was preparing a holy people for himself to go and occupy that land. Because these people were so sinful. So let's go to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59. will tell us why God drove these people out of the land. And this can happen to any nation that is so sinful without repentance. This can happen to any nation. This can happen to any people. Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59 from verse 1. Say, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ears heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, your fingers with iniquities. Your lips have spoken lies. Your tongue have muttered perversiveness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleaded for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice egg and wave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth, and that which is crushed breaketh into a viper. Their web shall not become garment, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity, and the acts of violence is in their land. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity, wasting and destruction are in their path. So when any nation does these things, when you have a nation that live in sin, that live in wickedness, that run to mischief, that shed innocent blood, that commit all sorts of atrocities without remorse, that nation will be separated from God. And that was what happened to the Amorites, the Hittites, and all those people that occupied those beautiful lands that God gave to his people. They were wicked. They were sinful. And that was why God drove them away. God drove them out of the land. Not because they belong to a certain group of people. No. The same thing God did during the time of Noah. God destroyed the entire world except the family of Noah, because of violence and wickedness. That was the same reason why God drove these people out of the land and gave their land to God's people. If you turn to Deuteronomy 5, Deuteronomy 5, Deuteronomy 9, sorry, Deuteronomy 9, 5. Deuteronomy 9:5. Moses was speaking to the people, and he said, not for thy righteousness or for thy uprightness of thy heart dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee, and that he may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God drove them out of the land because they were sinful. They were wicked people, wicked nation. They commit all sorts of atrocities. And God gave their land to others. And we will get a little more understanding of the things that were going on in this land if you go to Genesis, the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, Genesis 19. Genesis 19. Genesis 19, 1. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face towards the ground, and he said, "Behold now, my Lord, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your way." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after them and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will need be a judge. Now we will deal worse with thee than with them." And the press saw upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hands and put Lot into the house to them and shut the door. So these people came in. God actually came down to see for himself. And God came and he saw that these people were truly a wicked people, so corrupt in immorality, fornication, and adultery. And God saw for himself. So these were exactly the things that were going on among the Amorites, among all the nations that God drove out of their land and gave to God's people. So when God brought his people out of Egypt, God had to educate them. God had to tell them exactly what he expects of them, expects from them. God told them, "These people are sinful people. You are going to a sinful land to possess the land. The people that live in this land, we are sinful, but you must be different. You must be special. You must be holy because your God is holy. I've chosen you for myself, and I don't want you to be like those people, because for the same reason, I'm destroying them, I'm taking them out for your sake." So if you turn to Exodus 20, Exodus 20, what we call the Ten Commandments. This commandment will make a difference between the people that came out from Egypt and the people already dwelling in Canaan and all those lands. So this will be a difference between, this will mark a sharp difference between these two group of people. Exodus 20. "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am jealous God, visiting the iniquity of fathers upon children unto the third generation and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do thy works, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do not any work, thou, nor thy sons, nor thy daughters, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gate. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his maidservant, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all the people saw the thundering and the lightning and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. So God gave this commandment to his people that came out from the land of Egypt. And God said, don't behave like these people when you get to that land. Don't worship idols. Don't worship other gods. Do not steal things that belong to other people. Do not take thy neighbor's wife. Do not take thy neighbor's donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Do not kill. Do not shed innocent blood. These were the things that these people were doing. And this commandment will make a different people if they only obey this commandment. And this is exactly what God expects from us. When God separated us from the world and called us his own, God wants us to be separate from the world. Because all these things are the things that go on in the world. But if we are separate, if we are God's people, the same thing that God told his people in Exodus 20 applies to all of us. And we must know that the land that God has prepared for us, even though the kingdom that is coming is not like the one he gave to the people when they came out of Egypt, the kingdom that God is bringing here, no man have lived there before. But the same standard, God wants it to be occupied by a holy people. And why did God give them this commandment? What is special about these people? What was special about these people? We turn to Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7. Deuteronomy 7 from 6. Deuteronomy 7, 6. For thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did set his love upon you. The Lord did not set his love upon you, nor chose you because you were more in number than any people. For you were fewest among all people. But because the Lord loved you and because he would keep the oath which he has sworn unto your fathers, had the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of bondmen from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. So Moses told them, because you are a special people unto your God. You are special. You are not like other people. And what makes us special? What makes us special is when we love God And when we keep his commandment, and when we do God's will, that is what makes us special. Apart from that, we are like every other person in the world. But we are special when we obey God and do his commandment. And God expected these people to be a special people to himself, because he had given them a commandment, he had given them a law that will make them holy if they obey it. If you turn to Leviticus 19:2, speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. This is what makes us special. This is what makes us different from other people. And if you turn to Leviticus 20:26, we'll see the same thing. Leviticus 20:26. And you shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy. And I've severed you from other people, that you should be mine. This is what makes us different from other people. When we hear the voice of God, and we obey God's voice. When we are holy, when we prove ourselves to be holy to our God, and not like the Amorites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, and all those people that were caught in wickedness before God drove them out of the land and gave their land to others. And if you turn to 1 Peter 2:9, this is the reason for the commandment that we have, because God wants us to remember that we are special people. We don't just live our life the way we want it or the way we like. We live it the way God wants. 1 Peter 2:9. And it says, 1 Peter 2:9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We are a chosen generation. And God expects a lot from us. God expects loyalty. God expects commitment. God expects faithfulness. And God wants us to be like himself, like our Lord Jesus Christ, just like Mr. Morris said during the sermonette. So we should work hard every day, praying to God, asking for help and strength to overcome and to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew 5:14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that is in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So this is what God expects from us. God wants our light to shine. We are the light of the world, and God wants that light to shine. God does not want us to live our life like the Amorites, those people he drove out of the land because of their wickedness. And Apostle Paul touched on all these things. If you go to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. So he was talking about God's kingdom. So the same thing applies to God's kingdom and the people that will be in God's kingdom. God does not want us to live like the Amorites and the Hittites in God's kingdom. 1 Corinthians 6:14. I say, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So, no one that does all these will inherit the kingdom of God. When God's kingdom comes, God will separate people that live this life, this kind of lives, from the people, from his people, so that only the righteous will be in God's kingdom. If you turn to Galatians 5, Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envying, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And if you turn to Revelation 22:15. So these were the people that will be cast out when Jesus returns. Say, for without are dogs and sorcerers, and whoremongers, and murderers, and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh lies. These are the people that will not inherit God's kingdom. So what God did to the Amorites, the Hittites, and all the people he drove out from their land and gave their land to the Israelites, that is exactly what God will do to anyone who does not obey God's law and who does not do God's commandment at the return of Jesus Christ. So God wants us to be a special people. And God has separated us from the world to live a special life, to be a light. And God wants us to be a light. And it's very important for us to be that light for which God called us. That was why God gave the commandments to these people. God gave them this education. The commandment is educative. God told them, these are the things you will not do if you want to live long. These are the things you will not do if you want to possess this land forever. These are the things you will not do if you don't want me to drive you out of this land, just as I did to these people. You must abstain. You must remove your feet from doing these things. You must be special. And Apostle Paul in the New Testament also told us that today that we need to stay away from wickedness and all forms of evil. And how can we stay away from evil? If you turn to Revelation 18, 4. We are already living in the world of that's full of wickedness, that's full of all forms of evil. But look at what Revelation 18, 4 is saying. Say, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partaker of their sin, and that you receive not of her plagues. So God wants us to come out of the world. Come out of the world. Come out of the wicked people. Don't associate with the wicked people. Don't make them your friends. Don't make them the best people for you in this world. Say, come out of them. We must separate ourselves from the world. That is very important. Before God gave them the land, God separated the Israelites from the Egyptians. And before they got to the promised land, God, the Bible said, the generation that came out from Egypt, all those people that were questioning God, all those people that came out with their idols and so on, none of them inherited the land. God gave the land to their children, to their younger generation. So God wants us to separate ourselves. Separation is very important. So if we can separate ourselves and stand strong where we are, then that will be a good step in the good direction. If you turn to Psalm 1 verse 1. Psalm 1 verse 1. Psalm 1 verse 1. Blessed is the man that walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So he said, that does not stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scornfuls. This is very important. We must remove ourselves from people that will pollute us, from things that will pollute us. We must separate ourselves. And if you turn to Proverbs, Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4 from 23. Proverbs 4 from 23. Say, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from you. Let your eyes look right on, and let thy eyelid look straight before thee. Ponder thy path, the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy feet from evil. We must separate ourselves from evil. That is very important. Let's not try to taste it And let's not think that we do it and then we get away, we stop. Sometimes when we start, it's so difficult to stop. So the best thing for us to do is not to try it, not to go near it. Let's separate ourselves completely. Because when you start, it's so difficult to stop. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Say, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manner. Awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Say, evil communication is capable of corrupting good manners. So let's separate ourselves from the evildoers. You turn to Deuteronomy 7. God gave them this advice. God told them what to do when they get to the land. Because God said he will not remove the people completely from the land at the same time because it has its own consequences. So he removed them little by little. So he told them in Deuteronomy 7. Okay, I'll start Deuteronomy 7:2-3. Say, and when the Lord thy God shall deliver them before thee, thou shalt smite them and utterly destroy them. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor show mercy unto them. Neither shalt thou make marriages with them. Thy daughters shall not give unto his son, nor his daughters shalt thou take unto thy son. For they will turn away thy sons from following me, that they may serve other gods. So will the anger of the Lord be kindled against you and destroy thee suddenly. So he told them, even marriage, don't marry them, and let them not marry your daughters. Referring to the unbelievers, people that don't believe the same thing you believe, people that don't worship the same God that you worship, say, don't marry them. Don't associate with them because they will turn you away from your God. Association is very important. Association is very important. It's a very big factor. It's something that we have to look at critically if we want to grow in faith, or if we want to go backwards. So separating ourselves from the world is key, is very important. And that was what God did to these people. He separated them from Egypt, and he continued to educate them, to teach them about his laws, to tell them why he drove the other people out of the land and why he is giving them the land. And God was telling them not to disappoint him. Another thing that will help us is prayers. Prayers. If you turn to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Encourages us to pray. To pray without ceasing. To pray always. Don't stop praying. Don't stop communicating with God. Don't stop praying. God is the best father, the best friend that we have. And he says, pray without ceasing. We need to pray always because Satan is at work. Satan is walking round the clock. The Bible says, he's like a roaring lion seeking whom to devour. We need to pray always. We need to put on all those things that God has provided for us to overcome him. And that is how we can overcome the world as well. Matthew 26:40. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? And he told them in 41, say, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. That's very important. Watch and pray. That is how we can become special people to God. Always in touch with God. Always in touch with his words. Always communicating our problems, our weaknesses to God. And always asking for help and strength. If you turn to Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren, say, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about thy truth, about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. So we must put on the whole armor of God, to stand strong, to overcome trials and temptation. That is what we have to do, brethren. So God gave us his command to make us a special people, because he drove these people out of their lands because of their wickedness and their evil doings without repentance for decades, not even decades, for centuries. These people, from generation to generation, they worshipped idol, shed innocent blood, commit all forms of atrocities, and they saw them as normal before God. And God drove them out of the land and gave their land to other people because of their sins. And God does not want us to be like these people. God wants his people to be special. God wants his people to be holy. God wants his people to think like him, to reason like him, to walk in the same way with him. God says, my ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. But for those who love God and those who walk with God, we have agreed to walk according to God's way. We have agreed to think like God, not like men. And that was why God gave us the commandment to make us special to himself. So in today's message, brethren, I want us to remember, and I want to reinforce this, that we are special people to God. We are not like other peoples of the world. And what makes us special is when we take those commandments that God has given to us, and we order our lives and our steps according to those commandments and God's way. That is what makes us special. And that is what makes us God's people. And that is how God derives pleasure from us. Lastly, I want to take you to 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Second Timothy 2:19. Second Timothy 2:19. It said, "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity." So, brethren, I want to encourage us to be special to God. And we do so if we walk according to all that he has commanded us.